Wir sind Gott von Herzen
We are truly grateful to God
dass wir diese Tage
that we can experience these days together.
Und wenn es euch so geht,
And if you feel the same way I do, then we have a very deep desire within us
Gott zu erleben.
To experience God,
wirklich zu erleben.
To truly experience
dass wir nicht nur
that we not only hear, but that we receive what God has not only promised, but has actually given. We find the promises in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they have become reality. And we want God to reveal himself, to stretch out his arm, to save, heal, and bless. Yesterday evening, after the meeting, I heard a wonderful testimony about what happened last Sunday in Zurich. The child dedication just reminded me of it. A couple came there. We can say it. Nobody knows them. We can say it. To have their children blessed. And during the blessing of the children, I also prayed for the parents. But I didn't know what was going on. And yesterday evening I heard that God had helped the whole family. The marriage was almost over. And God gave them a new beginning in a wonderful way. We wish that God will reveal himself again today. Then we will hear a very special testimony of what God did for Brother Gabriel. I believe that it is one of the greatest miracles of healing that we have heard of in many years. I don't know the story well enough to tell it here, but as far as I know, the cancer was under the lung, surgery was impossible, and what has been going on for the last 2 years is known only to a few who were closely connected to our brother and sister. To make a long story short, where doctors had seen no hope, God truly healed, so that there is no trace of the cancer left. We are grateful to the Lord for this. Many prayers have ascended to the throne of God. I believe our brother can also testify to this. He certainly felt carried by these prayers, but the healing was accomplished by God. In prayer, we simply laid it before the Lord and said again and again, "No one who trusts in the Lord will be put to shame." It is worthwhile to trust God in every situation. Perhaps we will hear more details later. In any case, we are grateful that the Lord has proven himself to be the same. As you know, we can read in the Bible what the Lord has done. We can also learn what God has done in the book of Acts and in the epistles. But that was a very long time ago. It is wonderful when we can testify that the Lord is doing great things today, today, in you, in me, in us, if he has not already done so. No one should be angry with me when I briefly mention that God has indeed accomplished great things through the ministry of Brother Branham. It was not man who did it. It was God. When we think of the days of the apostles, do you think it was the shadow of Peter? What power could there have been in the shadow of Peter? What was it? It was the faith of those who were inwardly convinced, when this man of God comes this way, God comes with him. And when God comes with him, healing comes too. And it happened. It was not Paul's napkin that had any special power. It was the faith of those who took them and brought them to the sick, believing that this was a man of God who had wiped his sweat, and they applied these napkins and handkerchiefs, and lo and behold, demons were cast out. From whom were the demons cast out? From a handkerchief that had sweat in it? Certainly not. But from the respect that these people had for God and his servants. Faith in the presence of God brings about miracles. And if we then accept whoever God sends, you know, that is always the great difficulty. You can't please one person and you can't please the other. There is no way for a servant of God to please all people. And I'm convinced that even today there are different lines of thought among us. Some may wish that much more would be said about Brother Branham. I do not know what others wish. I cannot act according to wishes. I want to be here to serve the Lord without being under any compulsion to please anyone. I want to please God. And Paul writes in Galatians 1, verse 10, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. It is really not possible to please all people. For some it is too quiet, for others too loud. Some are bothered when everyone prays, others when not everyone prays. It will probably remain that way until the end. But let us be careful that we are not robbed of blessings by things that are not important at all. If we allow anything to trouble us, the blessing is already gone. We should really take all things as they come and accept them with gratitude. And if even Paul said back then that everything is partial, our knowledge, whatever we do for God, is partial, piecemeal, and that only God alone can give perfection. And we believe that everything that comes from God is perfect. And we also believe that in this time we have truly received the perfect revelation of God's will and word. There has never been a time when God's plan of salvation has been so far and wide, so high and deep in its entirety, with the overview that we have today. But this did not happen for our sake. It is not your and my merit. Just because we are now alive and the time is ripe for it, And God is letting everything proceed according to His plan. That is why we have no advantage whatsoever as far as you or I are concerned. However, we have the privilege, as I just said, of being alive right now. There was a generation at the first coming of Christ. Who could help it if they lived at that time and could see and hear what was happening? Today, we have that privilege. Let us appreciate that God has given us the grace to be on earth now. And I say here with Brother Branham, if the Lord had asked me at some point when I would like to live on earth, I would have chosen this time. It is a serious time, also an evil time, but also a glorious time. This morning, we will delve into what concerns our redemption. With a thought in our hearts that God, through His Spirit, takes the Word and makes it a living revelation in every heart. That it does not remain mere knowledge, but that it can become a revelation and thus an experience. Before we read the scriptures, I ask that we stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you from our hearts for the privilege of being gathered here today. Beloved Lord, it is not our merit or worthiness. It is your grace. Grace that we have been saved. Grace that we may see the light and the revelation of your word, your name, your will, that we may receive all these things. I also thank you for the wonderful healings and blessings. And I ask you, beloved Lord, through your word, to bring forth the faith that is necessary so that miracles may happen here today. Miracles of salvation, deliverance and healing. Lord, let the apostolic proclamation be followed and accompanied by apostolic authority. Stretch out your arm. Stretch it out today. Stretch it out now. And let signs and wonders happen. And confirm that what happened on Calvary is true. We thank you, the crucified one, the risen one, our Lord, our God, Savior, I ask you again, come into this room. Be present. Sanctify the atmosphere. Sanctify the room, the lips, the hearts, the ears. O God, let it be a gathering in your presence. Beloved Lord, I praise you and thank you, for you have already done great things for us, and you will do even greater things. Touch now all who are sick, all who are suffering. Lord, where doctors can no longer help, you can. You are the Lord, our physician. We believe and trust in you and will see your power at work. worship and honor be to you, the Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to read from Hebrews 10. The apostle made it very clear in the letter to the Hebrews. It has been written down concerning our redemption. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Up to here, this wonderful word. He has accomplished it and does not need to do it a second time. He could sit down. He could rest from the work of redemption. He just watches as it happens, as it happens to you and me. On Golgotha, he cried out, "It is finished." We may believe it. We may experience it. It happened once and for all. It happened for you. It happened for me. And whoever accepts this in faith is helped, truly helped at that very moment. And nothing worse can happen to us than to have unbelief towards the Lord and what he has accomplished. May God succeed today in giving us such biblical faith that great things can happen here. We do not need a great man of God here. We need the great God who reveals himself to us. And for this to happen, the same thing has been said again and again. If thou canst believe, the Lord asked, "Do you believe that I can do this for you?" It was and is faith. Not a faith that floats in the air, but a faith founded on the Word of God, anchored in the promises that have already become reality. God will not do it first. He has already done it. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment was laid upon him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. We will not become, we are. I will read verse 12 again. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Welche sich von ihm heiligen lassen, für immer
ans Ziel gebracht. Es gibt ja Menschen.
There are people, and perhaps we are among them, who ask themselves, will I be perfect? I have good news for you. You are already perfect. Have you all read this correctly? Have we grasped in faith what it means that our salvation is not a patchwork? Even if we experience it in stages, salvation is a complete gift of God's grace. We are redeemed through Golgotha. Forgiveness, grace, salvation. We have received everything we needed. And we have been perfected forever. I believe this is good news for all of us. Is it not written that he who has begun a good work in you will also finish it? How many scriptures could we read? Doesn't that bring joy? Doesn't that bring certainty of faith? And then we also understand, when it is written, it does not depend on anyone's will or effort, but on God's mercy. And God has had mercy on us. God has been gracious to us. He did not try, he did it. People might make an attempt. Golgotha was not an attempt. Golgotha was the work of redemption accomplished once and for all, not an attempt to see if it would work or not. Like the work of creation, it was a work of redemption. And just as creation is outwardly complete in itself, through what God has done, so it is with redemption. We are redeemed. In the eyes of God, the church is without spot or wrinkle, dressed in white linen before his throne of grace, perfect and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He took on human form so that we could take on the form of God. It is simply overwhelming time and again when we realize that our Lord became man, was found in the fashion of man, so that through him we might have the opportunity to become sons and daughters of God, who are perfected forever. I am grateful to the Lord that he cannot produce a patchwork. Only perfection can come from perfection. And God has given us perfect salvation. Even though, as I said earlier, we experience it in stages, and still have to wait for the transformation of our bodies, let us hold fast in the faith that the transformation of our souls and the renewal of our hearts take place in such gatherings. How many of us actually expect something to happen to us when the word is preached? Amen. Amen. That is how it must be. If someone just comes and expects a powerful sermon to be preached, maybe it will be, maybe not. But that cannot be the end of our expectations. What do we expect from God in this service today? Not whether a powerful sermon will be preached, but what will God do for you and me today? What do you personally expect God to do for you? I will continue reading, perhaps verse 14 again, and then further. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Yes, they have found forgiveness. That was the meaning and purpose of the death on Golgotha. Forgiveness must be accepted. It has already been granted by God. Now it must be accepted by you, by me, by us. Let us rejoice that God has redeemed us, that he has truly forgiven all sin, no longer remembers any transgression, and none of us need bow our heads and collapse under the burden. On the contrary, God has lifted us up, and we may rejoice and give him glory in faith for what he has done. I would like to read from Hebrews 9, verse 28. Hebrews 9, perhaps, yes, is the last verse. Hebrews 9, 28 also fits. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He came once to take away sin. His return will be for those whose sins were taken away on Calvary. And we await this return of Jesus Christ, not burdened with sin, but as redeemed, as liberated, as consecrated to the Lord, who also allowed themselves to be sanctified by the word of truth and by the Spirit. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Let me read from Hebrews 7, verse 22. Hebrews 7, verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Since Aaron, there has always been change. One went another came. Since Christ, nothing has changed. No one goes and no one comes. He came as the surety of a better covenant, as it's written here. Nothing changes anymore. He remains priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He was Melchizedek, the king of Salem. There is no one else but him, the king of peace. You can read about it in Hebrews 7 from verse 1. Back to this verse here. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Look, we can only preach the word. We cannot mediate anything. There is only one God and only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The mediation has already taken place. The union of God with mankind has taken place. We are reconciled to God. Let us not look at ourselves. Let us look at the Lord. I would just like to quickly read a few scriptures to show you that a perfect sacrifice was necessary to accomplish a perfect work of redemption. I am reading from Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22, from verse 19. Even as shadows of the Old Testament, we find here some references to the New. Leviticus 22, from verse 19. Ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever has a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. One could continue reading, but there is only one thing that matters in this text. Perfection can only come from perfection. We can only be without blemish through the one who was without blemish. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 1 on this subject. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He could not have any faults. He did not have any. It was not possible. It had to be perfection. It was there. Only perfection can come from perfection. I continue reading. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in God, who raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Our faith is not just any hope. Our faith is hope in God. Hope and trust in God. Beloved, I am convinced that today, as we read these scriptures, the Spirit of God is at work in all of us. I am convinced that it is penetrating more deeply than ever before, and that we honor God through faith and truly believe according to Scripture. We also believe that we are completely redeemed, and through Him, through the offering of His one sacrifice, we are perfected once and for all and brought to our destination. When John writes, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. It is only a matter of time, not a matter of fact. It is only a matter of time before we put off this earthly tabernacle and are transformed and taken up into glory. We all know that God has a timetable, and He is carrying it out, and we are part of what God is doing on earth. Let us read from Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, from verse 26, concerning the great day of atonement. Leviticus 23, verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. In the New Testament, we have the great day of atonement on Calvary. Atonement was made there for all of us. And we believe that we have been reconciled with God. Let me read a little further from Leviticus 25, verse 9, concerning the year of Jubilee, in connection with a great day of atonement, on which the trumpets were blown. The Lord refers to this year of Jubilee in the Old and New Testament. We will also read these scriptures. Leviticus 25, from verse 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession.
Wieder zu seinem Besitz kommen.
The Day of Atonement in the Year of Jubilee was indeed a special day. Beloved, I would like to read from Isaiah 61. There are various terms. There is the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. In Isaiah 61, our Lord, through the mouth of the prophet, refers to such a year of Jubilee. We will see in a moment that it concerns the time of grace and the New Testament. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. What a wonderful word! What might the people have thought when they heard Isaiah utter these words, that he would proclaim liberty to the captives and so on? It was the Spirit of Christ speaking through the prophet, and they searched to find out what time the Spirit of Christ working in them was pointing to. It was not Isaiah who proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord. Our Lord did it himself. And we will read it together in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 from verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. There is no mention here of the day of vengeance. That time had not yet come. It will only come when the time of grace has come to an end. I will still read the two verses, because they simply belong here. And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What did he read? He read the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. And then proclaimed that on this day this scripture had been fulfilled before them. The next verse is probably just as important. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Do we bear him witness? Do you agree? do you agree with him and say, Lord, you have given us the great day of atonement. You have brought the acceptable year of release. Not just announced it, for here was no announcement. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Here was fulfillment, not announcement. Do we agree with this? We have all read it, and all agreed with him, and wondered at the gracious words. Have you noticed the two places in the prophet Isaiah where grace is mentioned? In verse 2 we read, the acceptable year of the Lord. And then, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion a gift of grace. In the Old Testament, there was no grace in this sense. It was still law. Here we speak of grace, a year of grace, a gift of grace. Both have been granted to us. The acceptable year of the Lord spans almost 2,000 years. It lasts from the beginning to the end of the time of grace. Blessed are all those who can grasp in faith that it happened for us. Our Lord did not just proclaim a year of Jubilee in which all could go free. By grace, he gave us the great reconciliation on that great day of atonement on Calvary. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, writes Paul. In him we have redemption, not we will receive it, in him we have it. So, already in the Old Testament, there is talk of grace, of the year of grace, of the gift of grace. In the New Testament, it has become reality. And our Lord says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He read the right scripture at the right time. It was no coincidence, for with God there are no coincidences. What he does is always right. Beloved, it is also right that we read these scriptures here today in remembrance of what happened on Calvary. A flawless lamb offered himself as a sacrifice to shed holy blood, in which there was holy life, to redeem us and give us new eternal life by grace. It will not happen in the future. It has already happened. I would like to read two more scriptures. One from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians 2, from verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh.
Als frohe Botschaft verkündet. Er hat verkündigt.
He preached it and gave what he preached indeed. And the preaching of the gospel is also based on this. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, of him as the crucified one who died for us and rose again. God has accomplished reconciliation. The middle wall of partition, the enmity, has been broken down, and those who were far off have been brought near. A glorious year, a glorious time is the time of grace. Can you imagine how those in debt and enslaved at that time waited for the year of Jubilee to be proclaimed, for the trumpets to sound throughout the land, for everyone to regain their possessions? Beloved, what about you and me, about us? Have we understood that the trumpet of the gospel is being sounded clearly and distinctly? Paul says, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? We can say that the trumpet of God, the trumpet of the gospel, has never sounded an unclear note when it has been placed at the mouths of God's servants and used in this way. It is not our own message that we preach. It is God's message. We do not proclaim a year of Jubilee because we want to. The Lord proclaimed it and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord. It does not consist of 365 days. Every year in the time of grace is a year of Jubilee. And everyone who lives during this time and hears the trumpet of the gospel and becomes aware of it, that a great day of reconciliation between God and mankind has taken place, that he thus comes into possession of what he had lost. We mentioned it briefly yesterday evening. What the first Adam lost, the second Adam has restored and brought back. We are grateful to the Lord for this. Let us read from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 to 11 perhaps. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have emphasized this thought time and again. He became man for the sake of man. He became like us, It is not entirely comprehensible to us, but it is so. He ate and drank. He slept. He wept. He had compassion. Being found in fashion as a man, he put off his divinity and became man, so that we may lay off our humanity and become divine by becoming sons and daughters of God through the new birth. Our Lord said that we must be born again from above, otherwise we will not see the kingdom of God. Beloved, especially for those who have heard the word often, it will be very painful if they do not see the kingdom of God, about which they have heard so much, and perhaps also waited and expected to be there. For this reason, I would like to remind you once again that these meetings should not just be a reflection on the word. Something must happen. It must penetrate deep into our hearts. We must understand that we were meant. It has happened for you and me and for many others whom God will still call. We believe in it. Let us summarize what we have considered here this morning. By one offering on Golgotha, through one sacrifice, he accomplished redemption and has perfected us forever. This word "us" includes all those who believe in their hearts that it was done for them. He will not come a second time to do the same thing. He will come again to take the redeemed to himself. And we are all waiting for that day. It is the living hope that we carry within us. When we summarize all the scriptures, we can only say, Lord, how faithful and gracious you are. You have given us the Day of Atonement, the Year of Jubilee, and through the preaching of the Gospel, the salvation of God is brought to mankind. But everyone must accept it for themselves. We may proclaim liberty to the bound, salvation to the lost, healing to the sick. We may proclaim what happened on Golgotha. God stands by this, and God is ready to confirm it to those who believe. And if we believe today, it can happen today. Praised and glorified be His glorious name. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. We bow our heads, close our eyes, open our hearts, allow the word to penetrate and speak to us and work within us. According to Hebrews 4:12, the word is indeed powerful. It penetrates until it divides soul and spirit, marrow and bone, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As human beings, we do not know how thoughts come about, why they come about. But we know one thing, that God has thoughts of love and peace for us. Do you believe that? God has thoughts of love and peace for us, even at this hour, right now. Perhaps there are some here today who have never consciously made a personal decision before the Lord to serve Him. Perhaps some of you feel a little uncomfortable when it is emphatically stated that everyone must have a personal experience with the Lord. But one day, at the Lord's return, you will thank God and those whom He has used to pass on this call. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He has reconciled Himself to you. Now it is your turn to accept this reconciliation. As all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, all hearts are praying, and we are all believing together, let me ask if there are any here who would like to dedicate their lives to the Lord. It will help you if you raise your hand to make that decision before God. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Let me ask further. Who is sick and believes that the Lord is present to heal? Feel free to raise your hand. God bless you. All things are possible to him who believes. God is present. He has promised it. And if He has promised it, He will certainly keep it. We have often broken our promises, but He cannot break His word. Scripture, as it is written, cannot be broken. God and God's word are trustworthy. And in this faith, we want to accept it and let God work, namely what He has prepared for us and made clear to us through the proclamation of the gospel. Lord our God, we thank you for your presence, for your faithfulness, for your word, for the blood shed on the cross at Golgotha, for the work of redemption accomplished there, which happened once and for all, and will be valid for eternity. Lord, we thank you together on this day, in this place, and we have faith that you are present to confirm your word by signs and wonders following. Beloved Lord, through the sermon, faith entered our hearts, and because we believe, we pray, and because we believe, we expect you to confirm your word as true right now. Beloved Lord, in your name and by your power, may the bound be set free, the sick be healed, the lost be saved, and may full salvation through the full gospel be experienced in this place by the power of God right now. Beloved Lord, if you were here, you would say, today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Beloved Lord, you proclaimed the year of Jubilee. You proclaimed it yourself, and you have fulfilled all the conditions for the bound to be set free, the lost to be saved, the sick to be healed. you fulfilled all the conditions on Golgotha. We believe it, and we proclaim the full gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Faithful God, confirm this word to us all as true, to the glory and praise of your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise God. Praise His name. Give Him the glory.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise be to the Lord God.
O God,
may your Spirit reign in our midst, Lord, that those who are bound may realize their release, that the sick may realize they have been healed, that joy, peace, yes, bliss may be revealed in your presence.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
It is finished. Do you believe that He has done it? Amen. Done it for you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.